Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. A reminder that I'll be joined every single Monday live on TalkSport 2 by Gareth A. Davis to dissect all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. 2021 is set to be a huge year for boxing, both in the UK and abroad, and we'll have you covered every single step of the way. If you can't join us live, make sure you subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel to ensure you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, you can also check out some of the other great boxing programming, the likes of Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and The Boy from Brownsville, The Mike Tyson Story.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and you love your MMA, then this is the show for you, Fight Night Extra, where myself and Gareth A. Davis will be looking forward to some of the big fights, and there could be some good news as well that could happen in 2021. Today, we're going to discuss Conor Benn's excellent first round knockout against Samuel Vargas and what could be next for him. Could it be? I don't think it will be, but could it be Amir Khan? We're going to discuss that. And we're also going to be welcoming Natasha Jonas onto the show. Massive fight for her coming up against, I think, the pound-for-pound best female boxer on the planet in Katie Taylor. We're going to look back at some of the excellent female cards from the weekend as well. There are a couple of good ones. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Trying to make an early impression on Samuel Vargas. Wonderful uppercut. Look at this from Conor Benn early in the first round. Vargas in all sorts of trouble, and it's been stopped. Sensational. Conor Benn wins in double quick time.
Statement made. No one banged him out in one round. Easy. Easy. Give me a proper test. Give me Amir Khan. If he wants it, he can get it.
This is not a story of a legend's son anymore. You know, this is the emergence now of Conor Benn, Nigel Benn's son, to people going up to Nigel and going, oh, you're Conor's dad.
She's going to have to get close, isn't she? Somehow. But then she risks that. And she's going to sit it out. Savannah Marshall retains her WBO world middleweight title in facile fashion, really. She did crack that well, Shannon Courtney. Punch of the fight so far in the fifth round, and that just stopped Ebony Bridges in her tracks for the first time.
The winner by unanimous decision and the new WBA bantamweight champion from Watford, England, Shannon, the baby-faced assassin, Courtney.
Loads of juicy, tasty action to get our teeth into as we kick off Fight Night Extra. Myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great, one great, Gareth A. Davis here with myself. All right, let's talk about Conor Benn. Let's get this one out of the way first, Gareth. I'm always disappointed. Look, fighters don't get paid for overtime. We know how it works, right? If you can blast someone out in a round, blast them out in a round. I wanted to see a couple more rounds from my own perspective, just so I know where Conor is. I was like, let me see if he can handle the looks that Vargas is going to show him. Let's see what happens if he goes into deep water with a guy that is kind of there in terms of being a fringe world level operator. Didn't get to see that, but credit to Conor Benn. He made sure we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, it was 82 minutes of glory, 82 seconds rather of glory for him on Saturday night. He did everything he needed to do. He exposed Samuel Vargas mentally. Yeah. You could see that. He knew it was the killing time and away he went. And I mean that in boxing terms, of course. Look, like you say, We learnt a lot about him, but there was a lot we didn't learn about him on Saturday night. And so the jury's still out. The question mark's still there. He's still two levels from world level, in my view.
Agreed.
I don't agree that he's a world title contender. I don't believe he's world class yet. I think he has all the credentials and the potential time for that for him. But I think, you know, what I agree with him, he's the best welterweight in Britain right now. I'd put anyone at welterweight in Britain with him, including Kell Brook and Amir Khan. I think he'd beat both of them.
Statement.
No, but I think he would beat both of those men.
Do you think he beat Josh Kelly?
I think that's a really interesting fight because styles make fights. I think that is one of the most fascinating fights. David Avanesian, the European champion, who's not British, but fights out of Britain, of course, at the moment. I think that's a very interesting challenge. In my mind yesterday, was thinking, and I'm glad Amir Khan ruled himself out of that contest, by the way.
Yeah, nothing. He gains absolutely nothing. Yeah, gains absolutely nothing from fighting Conor Benn. In terms of the next big, you know, by the way, Gareth, I'm so happy that you've kind of just toned it down a bit in terms of expectations and where Conor Benn is, because you know what we like to do over here in this country. As soon as someone wins a couple of fights, we get excited. And I mean, Johnny Nelson was talking about he beat Sean Porter, and I actually tweeted Johnny like, calm down now. Stop
I think
it.
That's a good fight, by the way. I'd like to see him fight someone like Sean Porter.
Sean Porter, really?
Yes,
Gareth?
Yes, I would.
This is the first time me and you are ever going to disagree on this show, and look, we've got a great relationship. Absolutely not.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
We can
still be great friends.
We can,
you know?
We
can still duke it out.
We can meet for a drink later. Yeah, we're all right.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is this. Sean Porter is the toughest kind of examination he'd get at the moment.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, and that's what we didn't find out on Saturday night, Addy, whether he can have that initial barrage, be the destroyer, the son of the dark destroyer, be the Ben DNA. But then can he go to round 6 and 9 when he's not going his way?
Yeah.
And then what's he got left, 9 to 12 or 10 to 12? So we don't know that about him yet. Sean Porter would probably test that in him. He might lose that fight on points. It doesn't matter with Conor Benn in some ways. I wouldn't put him in with him next necessarily.
Agreed,
but I think Sean Porter is a great challenge for him. If you're calling out the Amir Khans or the Kell Brooks, who are at the very, very end of their careers, you don't want to put a young stud and sacrifice them. Amir Khan made the right decision. He's too rich. He's too well known. He's done too much for Pakistani Muslims, for British culture, with our Pakistani British culture being a role model for so many people. We don't want to see him getting beaten up by some young stud. Amir Khan's bigger than that. He shouldn't be a sacrificial lamb. Amir fight anyone, but Amir's very close to the end.
No.
So Kell Brook and Amir Khan, I'd like to see fight, because then it's kind of an equal fight.
I agree. You know? They're both past their best, but in equal measure. With Amir Khan and Kell Brook.
Exactly.
So I almost think it's a 50-50, weirdly 50-50 fight because of that. But look, the thing that scares me about the Sean Porter links, and look, you know, why not, right? If you can roll the dice, sometimes you've got to roll the dice with these kids to see where they are. I just think there are so many good little fights in between, but now it's a case of how you match them up, right? I mean, do you go, as you mentioned, Avanesian, the European route? Do you look at someone like a faded
fight.
Guy, like a Louis Collazo, bit of a name value, but faded, former world champion? There's so many different routes they're going to go. One thing we do know is that British boxing has a new superstar. I've said, as soon as the O2 Arena is allowed to open up again and you can fill it up, he will fill it up.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is. Look, he's got all the ingredients to be a star. He just needs to keep, not necessarily winning, but yes, he does need to keep winning because that the triumphs are very important. But if he had life and death, like, I don't think he will fight Sean Porter left. It's just a fight I posited out there. He could get old manned by Sean Porter and learn enough in 12 rounds against Sean Porter that's like 5 fights.
Yeah.
He could learn 100 rounds in that fight. That's all I'm saying.
No, agreed.
So that's where we heard the exuberance of youth on Saturday night. We heard a young man who's just become a father. He's 24 years old. He's building a home in Essex with his beautiful young wife. He's totally dedicated to his sport.
Totally.
We're totally. Look, that's why he can say those things.
Yeah, it's true.
I know Conor well enough to know he's in the office inside out. He came in one night with me into TalkSport, and we were in till about midnight. And he was saying to me, this is my route home. I'm going to run all the way along the embankment, 15-mile run on the way home with Victoria picking him up and following him in the Range Rover. He's totally
love that.
Dedicated to the task.
Love
he says
that.
His father told him and taught him what he shouldn't be at this stage in his life, which is drinking, drugs, women. He's not doing that. So you have to give him... I was on earlier with Jim White talking to Simon Jordan about this, and Simon was complaining that he was mentioning the millions and stuff. Well, you know what? Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Getting in there and fighting. Yeah. Exactly.
He knows that. And I like what he mentioned a few times, I think after the Formella fight, like, yeah, I do sleep in silk sheets. I have a nice Range Rover, but I still put in... all the work. So look, I have no issue with Conor Benn, and we're going to talk a bit more about Conor Benn in a bit. I do want to quickly move on because of time and talk about the female fights on the card as well.
Yeah.
Shannon Courtney versus Ebony Bridges. So much in the build up to the fight just because of the way in which Ebony was selling it, which look, I'm a fan of, and I'll tell you the reason why before we start.
You like lingerie?
No,
yeah?
No, no. Well, that, yeah, well, don't mind it, but
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's brilliant. It puts eyes on the sport, but you've got to get in there and do the business. You can do all that selling as much as you want. If you can't fight, it's a damn squid. If you can fight, and she clearly can, I have no issue with it. And it was a great fight. Stole. Cash Fruit was a good fight, but I think that stole the show for me. Shannon Courtney versus Emily Bridges, I think, stole the show.
Yeah, because they'd had the build-up in the week. They had the animosity. They had the rivalry, the, you know, the spitting at each other almost under their breath. You know, and Shannon Courtney being kind of a former wild child from Watford who's righted her life, and Ebony being, you know, a physical specimen she is. And I have to say that.
She is
from her bodybuilding days. Yeah. She's proud of her body. She's got massive... kind of following, male following on... Don't look at me like that. She's got a massive male following online now because she's happy to use her sexuality. What the hell is wrong with that?
Yeah,
nothing.
Agreed.
But on Saturday night, like you say, when the first bell tolled, it was hammer and tongs. She went for it with one eye for the last two rounds.
So impressive.
It was a cute boxing of Shannon Courtney against the bulldozer, marching forward, relentless, aggressive, and slightly more agricultural style of Ebony Bridges. It thoroughly entertained. I found myself sitting there before we went live on Fight Night on Saturday night, sitting there writing, inspired writing a report on it, and, you know, and enjoying it, enjoying the poetry of two women going to war and who look fabulous, who've got great narratives, they've got great storylines behind them. Fantastic advert for women's boxing.
Honestly, fantastic. Like, I said it as well. Like, I
mean, and a fantastic fight, I should say, not just an advert.
You know, exactly.
A fantastic fight. Period. Right?
We had so many good female fights at the fight camp and Eddie's back garden. We're now continuing it. And I think British boxing is doing so much, particularly Matchroom right now, to really push the female agenda. Another girl who fought, disappointing in terms of her opponents pulling out, right? She didn't get to fight who she wanted to fight, but that was Savannah Marshall. Look, there's so much critique about female boxers that we never see knockouts or knockdowns. Savannah just slams the door in that notion. I mean, she can punch. She can punch, and all we need to see now is her versus Clarissa Shields. I don't want to see anything in between. Savannah versus Clarissa is the fight I want.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Addy, but my caveat there is I want to see a huge audience there for Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall. So I'm happy to wait till audiences, say if we can get 20,000 in the O2 Arena or...
Do you think it does
I think it does. Yeah, of course it does.
As a standalone main event, do you think, co-main with something above it, like a,
I don't mind.
A Dillian White,
card,
whatever?
Yeah, the card has to be built. I can't see Dillian White being the co-main event.
Never.
He'd have to be the main event because he's a box office fighter.
Yeah, he is a box office,
But it does have a box office draw about it. And again, you've got natural characters. You know, Clarissa Shields, who... She's got an amazing backstory. It's a horrific upbringing, but she's such a wonderful person now, and such a brilliant spokeswoman for women's boxing, Black Lives Matters, all those things for resonance right now in the sport. And you've got the silent assassin who blushes when you ask her a question.
Yeah.
You know, but she does still.
They're so different, aren't they? Really,
and they are so different, but they are both reaching a point where it is a box office fight. I think it should be in the UK. I think Clarissa Shields got plenty of fans here.
Yeah.
But Savannah Marshall's becoming more and more well-liked. She's in a brilliant partnership with the uncle of Tyson Fury, Peter Fury, in terms of his trainer. And it's a huge fight. But I don't want to see that fight. I want to see the women, like as Clarissa Shields said to Eddie Hearn, 550, you can have your fight here. Give me 750, and I'll come. That's pounds, and I'll come over at 750,000. Obviously, I'll come over and fight your girl in the UK. Mm. It's a big enough fight for that. She should be making close to $1 million for that fight. So if she comes over here to defend the title, so yeah, it's a fascinating time for Savannah and for Clarissa. But before you go to the break, what
we're not going yet. We've got time. Yeah.
All I was going to say was that Savannah, that was a very... I know Maria Lindberg came in on 4 days' notice, but that was a 44-year-old woman who did not have the wherewithal, in my view, to fight someone like Savannah Marshall for
agreed.
A world title.
I'm happy we mentioned that, because I was going to go
But she
there.
Did the job. Yeah. She knocked her down the second. She finished her in the third. No messing about.
Yeah, I tweeted straight after that fight, like, look, if we want to see female boxing really being pushed, and like, I could be wrong here, I said put Savannah versus Clarissa. And I think you might have said this as well, Gareth, in the past, on the undercard of AJ versus Fury. That's what I've said. Some people were like, okay, yeah, but all the eyes will be on AJ versus Fury. I'm like, I know, but still, Savannah versus Clarissa as the undercard of that would be something, right? And they would love to be on the undercard of it as well. What is the latest with AJ Fury? I feel like it's new developments every single week. Every single Monday we speak, there's something else. What is the latest now, Gareth?
Well, as we know, Tyson Fury went through the options yesterday. He arrived in Vegas to begin his training camp. If you count 12 weeks and then 2 weeks for a build-up, the earliest they could do that fight is around July 24th. Mm. We know Anthony Joshua's gone over and scoped camp in Miami. I think he's come back now. I'm not certain. I think he came back. Mm. But we know that Bob Arum, Tyson Fury's American promoter, is talking with Eddie Hearn tomorrow. We don't know if that's in person or on Zoom call or however they're doing it at the moment, because Bob was in Tulsa at the weekend where Joe Smith had a great fight against Maxim Glazov. Really, really good.
You think he won that?
Yeah, he did. I think he won it. Yeah.
Oh, I went 7-5 the other way, but okay.
No, I think he just pipped it. It was close. I wouldn't have argued the other way, Eddie. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with your score. Mm. It wasn't an easy fight to score. But I think when Aaron will know Tyson Fury's views when he meets Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn already knows, I think, where Anthony Joshua wants to go with it. It was good to hear from Saudi Arabia this morning, kind of publicly, that they're interested. Maybe they are going to get their £120 million site fee, which is what I believe the promotion was after. Maybe going to those other countries has forced the hand of Saudi, and we can get into the sports washing and the politics of it another time, because we're just doing boxing today, and we will get into that if it's Saudi. But I expect by Thursday, Friday, stuff will have gone back to the lawyers, and I think we'll probably have an agreement, I reckon, within about a week if it's going to happen.
Okay, so you're basically telling me, Gareth, just before we do go, this time next week, Monday, we might announce something.
Yeah, we'll have them all on the show. We'll do an hour live with Eddie Hearn, Bob Arum, Anthony Joshua, and Tyson Fury.
You've got the black book, Gareth. I know you can pull this one.
I'll get my little black book out and we'll get them all on the show.
We'll get them all on the show, indeed. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. If you've missed any of the show and like to listen again, remember to check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
Please welcome the reigning, defending, undefeated WBA Continental Welterweight Champion, Conor the Destroyer Ben.
Trying to make an early impression on Samuel Vargas. Wonderful uppercut. And look at this from Conor Benn early in the first round. And Vargas in all sorts of trouble. And it's been stopped. Sensational. Conor Benn wins in double quick time.
Statement made. No one banged him out in one round. Easy. Easy. Give me a proper test. Give me Amir Khan. If he wants it, he can get it.
Love the words there of Conor Benn. It is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. Remember, if you've missed any of today's show, you can always catch up with our podcast. Just search for Fight Night wherever you download your podcast for access to all previous episodes. Gareth A. Davis still with us. Gareth, I love Conor Benn. You know what it is I like about him? He can cut a promo. I know that might sound silly, right? Because this isn't WWE or WWF, but it's important. Once you get on the mic, start selling yourself. No one sells himself, I don't think, better than Conor Benn right now in British boxing.
Look, there have been people who never won world titles who've sold out arenas. There's a guy called Billy Walker. I went to see him in his flat overlooking the Thames. Billy was a really famous heavyweight in the 60s.
Yeah.
Never won a world title, but he sold out the Wembley Arena 9 times.
Wow.
People loved him. He was a heavyweight. Got knocked down. He got up. He fought people. He was always entertaining. He was part of the Brill Cream crew in the 60s, friends with Bobby Moore, Sir Bobby Moore. You know, he had a shock of blonde hair. He was handsome. He was
just like you, Gareth. Nice long hair like you.
Yeah, he was out with the IT crowd. He's partying all the time. He's always having a good time. I'm talking about myself now. And the point being, he was a star with the people. Connor's got all that. Mm. He's got all the DNA. He's got the narrative of his father's life, and his father's a British sporting legend and much loved as well. Mm. Not just a boxing legend. He's much loved. Nigel's a beautiful human being. There's something very special about Nigel. And he's instilled that in his son. And we see all that in Connor. And so watching the journey is very important with Connor. It's just finding out now whether how good his chin is at the top level, how resilient he is against people that don't buckle in 82 seconds, and whether he can learn and learn and learn. I think he's under a great mentor.
Yeah, Tony Sims is fantastic.
I love Tony. I've known him many years. Tony doesn't go out there and make a lot of noise, but he's very proud and very pleased on Saturday night.
Agreed. Tony is a great person to be under. Experienced, doesn't care about the limelight as well. So I think, look, it's always good for Connor to be under someone like that. You spoke to Connor after the fight on Saturday alongside Adam Catcher on Fight Night following his Saturday win. This is what he had to say.
You know, people want to keep questioning me, saying it's a step up. No, nothing's a step up. It ain't a step up. Who was it really a step up for? Do you know what I mean? Every time he stepped up, he failed. But yet people want to question me and what I can do. You know, I beat Formella at his game. And then tonight, I beat the fighter at his game. Cuevla, I beat him at his game. Do you know what I mean? So it's just a matter of people actually putting some respect to my name and knowing that this ain't no step up. I'm a good fighter. I'm a great fighter. I'm a top world contender. I'm the best British welterweight. Goes without saying.
Connor, have you spoken to Dad yet, Nigel Benn, tonight?
He said he's watched it back about four or five times.
I'm not surprised.
And you know, you can imagine what his commentary's like, sitting at home watching on his cinema screen TV.
And what's he said to you about the performance?
He's just gone, it doesn't surprise me. And it didn't surprise me either, to be honest. I just knew I was going to get him out of there. I felt so strong this camp.
Your senses were really on tonight, weren't they? When you clipped him around his high guard with that right... You just knew, didn't you?
Exactly that right hand you're talking about. I hit him with the right hand. That exact one you're talking about. And I see him sort of stumble. And I thought, nah, mate. Like, you ain't going to live with me too much longer. And then I just started to put them together, let my hands go. And he went, do you know what I mean? It didn't surprise me. But you got to put me up there with all the top boys, with all the top Yanks. Because no one's done what I've done tonight. None of them.
Who do you want then? Who do you want next?
I'd like Amir Khan next. That's a massive domestic. I mean, if Kelly won, then obviously it would have been Kelly. But, you know, Kelly lost, and, you know, he's getting his old violin out. I'll push on. I'll leave it to my team and whoever they decide. My job is to train and beat the man in the other corner, and it's their job to get me the right fights. But you put me in there with anyone who has any tactic, whatever it is, I will match it and I will beat it. If you want a speed challenge, let's have a speed challenge. If you want power, let's have power. You want a fire, I can make you soon regret that.
Very reminiscent of his dad, Nigel. It's a spitting image, honestly. It's exactly the same person. It's crazy. Connor Benn there speaking to Adam Catcher and Gareth A. Davis, who joins us now on Fight Night on Saturday after that big win. And it was a big win over Samuel Vargas. He mentioned the names. You heard it there, Gareth. I mean, Amir Khan, that's the name we're hearing now. It's not going away, by the way. It's not going away. Josh Kelly as well. It's disappointing Josh lost to David Avanesian, but that's not going to happen next. Can Amir Khan happen? I mean, we know Amir Khan likes a check, like all boxers like a check. It will be on pay-per-view. It will be box office. It will be a big fight. Is that not enough to entice him, Gareth?
Well, and if Eddie Hearn puts enough money in front of Amir Khan, he'll probably fancy the job. But I think, you know, Amir moved with alacrity yesterday and made it very obvious that, you know, there's no world titles there for him, and he wants a world title to finish, or at least an attempt at a world title bid to cap what's been a glorious career in many ways. And, you know, he's been a public figure for us since he was 17 years old, going back to the Athens Games where he won Olympic silver, of course, and changed the face of kind of Muslim standing in Britain.
Agreed.
As a sportsman. He did so much. Amir's done so much. He's a wonderful person, Amir. I'll never have a bad word said about him. But the thing is, it's not the right fight for him, in my view. And he removed himself, as I say, with alacrity.
Very quickly, isn't it? Yeah.
There's loads of fights out there.
Go on, you know, then. Play Conor Benn's manager. Put your feet into those shoes. Who next for Conor Benn? He's going to come. Look, he blasted Samuel away in 82 seconds there. So he's probably out again in July, August. Who does he fight?
Well, I think Chris Congo's a great fight.
After a defeat?
I think David Kett, I think they're all good fights. Mm. I think Kelly Mick, is it Josh Kelly
is Mickinson?
Yes, Mickinson. Yeah. Yes, but they're not they're not huge building fights, but what they are, they're solid learning fights for him. They might want to move him up quickly. He's talked about being around in the sport for 6 more years. That's a long time in the sport. That's 12 more fights.
Yeah, I mean, you know how many boxers have said that? It makes me laugh. I mean, David Haye said the same thing. I'll retire at 32. Yeah,
it would be 40. All about how much money he earns and how far he goes in the sport. I mean, as I said, at the top of the show, there's 2 more levels for him to go up. Mm. As you say, Sean Porter, Mikey Garcia, Keith Thurman, Virgil Ortiz, Danny Garcia, David Avanesian, Edges Cavalieskas would be an interesting fight as well. Jaron Ennis is out there. Kell Brook we've mentioned. There's so many possible fights. And if I was his manager now, I'd be looking for a name. Yeah. I would be looking for a name because that's the resonance that Conor's giving. That's the self-belief that he's projecting. Whether he's ready for it or not is another thing. Tony Sims will have something of a say in that as well. But he did more than he was expected to do on Saturday night. He exposed this tough Colombian Vargas and he put him away quicker than anyone else. So the things he said afterwards were the right things to say. And as you know, boxing revolves around hype and promotion. He's got all the ingredients, all the makings of a star. He just needs to put the ticks in that win box now 3 or 4 more times. And he really will be in some blockbuster fights.
Yeah, he will be. Look, one thing we do know is though a star has arrived in Conor, Ben. Fantastic win for him against Samuel Vargas at the weekend. Who will he fight though in August? That's the questions people are starting to ask now. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. Remember, if you've missed any other show or would like to listen again, then you can check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Please welcome to the ring the 2012 Olympian from Liverpool, Tasha Jonas.
It's been a brilliant performance from the Toxteth lady, the mother of Mila. She has backed up her words that she will give it everything. Fabulous advert for women's boxing. Natasha Jonas raises her arms.
She made a few statements and I had to prove some of them statements wrong, not only to her but to myself as well. And I thought I put on a good performance tonight.
It is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, if you've missed any of the shows today, you can always catch up with our podcast. Just search for Fight Night wherever you download your podcast. Access all previous episodes. Gareth A. Davis alongside myself, Adi Oladipo. Gareth, I feel like we're starting to see a real growth spurt now when it comes to female boxers in this country. We are starting to see some really good young kids come through. We're starting to see the veterans put on good performances as well. Where would you say we are? Do you think we're leading the way when it comes to female boxing in the world?
Well, I think America's very strong. There's some good Japanese boxers. I mean, they've always been into martial arts, of course. But I think the build in Britain has been amazing. The legacy, Eddie, from 2012, the Olympic Games,
yeah.
the first women boxers. We saw what Nicola Adams did afterwards, the flyweight champion from London 2012. We're seeing what Katie Taylor's doing, and she's the kind of like, she's the pathfinder, the pioneer. Clarissa Shields as well. There's your three winners from the Olympic Games. You mentioned Savannah Marshall earlier, the only woman to have beaten Clarissa in the amateur career, where Sav came in to the Olympic Games in 2012 as the world champion from the amateurs. So everything's set up. I think, you know, I go back to the days of covering Leila Ali in the late 90s, and her. I went to a big circus tent in Syracuse where she fought Joe Frazier's daughter,
yes.
of course, Jackie Frazier live.
I remember the build-up for that.
Five for eight rounds. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. And the two old men were there, the fathers. It was an amazing night. Tito Trinidad was there. It was one of the... You know, I followed her in detail. I went to her debut, Leila Ali. I followed her in immense detail because it was fascinating at the time. Around that time, by the way, I went to Seattle for the first ever licensed bout between a man and a woman, which I don't really want to see again. There was a male jockey, Loy Chow, had been an amateur, fought a woman called Margaret McGregor, and she battered him from pillar to post like a raging bell for five rounds, and it was two-thirds of the audience were women, and we dubbed him Loy Chicken Chow because he ran for all those rounds, but he had to run. He was on a lose-lose.
Yeah.
He was on a total... He had to get a beating.
Yeah, you know probably what I mean? Amanda Nunes in disguise or something.
Something like that. Yeah,
maybe so. Yeah. Look, we talked about Shannon Courtney at the top of the show and that fantastic win against Ebony Bridges. It will be Shannon Courtney versus Rachel Ball next for that WBO bantamweight strap. Rachel Ball obviously beating Shannon Courtney in what was, I think, a fantastic fight at the fight camp. They're going to go again. Expect something similar in terms of a matchup, because they're very, very similar in terms of they could fight 100 times and it could go 50-50, those girls.
Yeah, and just to say one other thing. During lockdown, we've really noticed a growth in women's boxing. It's an amazing time for women to grow in the sport now. I think we will see more resonance. I think we'll see a growth of women's boxing. It's the right time for women's boxing to grow. And I think there's some moves afoot around the place to see. You see what Lou DiBella's putting on whole cards with women at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these stars in America you mentioned just now, Heather Hardy, who crossed over to MMA as well. And there's more propensity for the women to cross between the codes. Clarissa's training for a fight in the PFL,
yeah.
Professional Fighters League in MMA.
She's with Jackson Wink, isn't it?
She's training with John Jones and Holly Holm and these women that, you know, people like that who have crossed over. So, you know, it's a fascinating time. And I think we will only see more growth in women's boxing, and I really do think there'll be some big moves coming up.
Can I ask you about the difference in terms of the males and females? Like in MMA, there are no differences really in terms of the rounds, right? In boxing, it is still 2-minute rounds for females. Fan of it or not? I was watching Shannon Courtney versus Ebony Bridges on the weekend, and there were times in that fight where I'm thinking, if there's another minute in the round, especially round five where Shannon hurt Ebony, I don't think Shannon's getting out of the round. I'm sure I don't think Ebony's getting out of the round. I do wonder they might need to look at extending it to 3 minutes. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, my thoughts are, of course, I'd love women to have 3-minute rounds, but I'm not a medical expert, and there's still medical evidence that, and it may be wrong, it may be right. I do agree with you. I think there'll be more finishes.
Yeah.
I think two minutes happens very quickly. And it does egress against women who are aggressive, come forward fighters who are dominant in that round.
Mm.
But God didn't make 3-minute rounds either. Do you know what I mean? So why don't they have 5-minute rounds? I mean, the old fairground, Victorian fairground booths, when anyone could step up and beat the champion in the fairground booth, they used to make them have 7-minute rounds so they could exhaust them. So, you know, I do think parity is a very important thing to be discussing. Parity of pay, parity of based on market forces. Ebony Bridges brought so much to that event the other day because she was happy to be authentic and go out there on a plate and be herself, as Shannon Courtney was.
Mm.
And I think it, you know, as much as the Conor Benn fight was much anticipated on Saturday night because it was a step up for him, people were really looking forward to Ebony Bridges and Shannon Courtney, and they really delivered. And if there had been 3-minute rounds, I do think we would have seen a finish.
Yeah, well, the next big fight, and it is a big super fight for females, is Natasha Jonas. She takes a, well, some might say a step up. I think Tasha's really on this level. She takes on Katie Taylor, who some say is the pound-for-pound best female boxer on the planet. It's between her and Clarissa, isn't it? Tasha Jonas joins us now. Tash, thank you so much for coming on to Fight Night Extra. I really appreciate it. You know, I did see Tash. Someone just sent me this clip, and they've said if Tasha, when Tasha does retire from boxing, she might have a go at football. I just saw a clip here of you on Soccer AM, left footed as well, Tash, bottom corner. What's going on? I didn't know you had that in your locker.
I am actually naturally left footed. So they stitched me up and done a right footed volley. So I missed the volley totally the wrong way. But,
you're trying to say it was a lucky goal after all that credit I've just given you?
No, the goal wasn't lucky. That was the right foot, but the volley wasn't, the volley before that.
Oh, okay. Tash, firstly, how are you doing? How's preparations going for the Katie Taylor fight? You look in tip-top shape, seeing your ringside, doing your Sky stuff. You must be ready for this one. This is what you've been wanting.
Yeah, I've kicked up a lot of force. I've spat my dummy out.
You've done it.
And I got it. So, you know, I'm not fighting for two belts. I'm not doing the half a rematch. It's gone. Mm. But I'm fighting for four belts instead. So I've got no complaints, you know. People say it's a step up, but like you said, like, I believe I'm at that level. I believe I should be here, and I believe I should be contending with the likes of Katie anyway.
Well, Tasha, I was there that day when you fought Katie in the quarterfinals in the London Olympics. I know it was a disappointing day for you that day, but it was an amazing atmosphere. It was almost the moment where women's boxing came alive. The noise was apparently the same as a jumbo jet that day. You'll remember all the top lines from it. How do you... and I agree with Addy, you look in phenomenal shape. You always look wonderful and very beautiful. It's one of your amazing qualities. But everyone from Liverpool can play football and fight. We know that. What are you doing differently this time against Katie? Because you will be seen as the underdog. What are you doing in preparation for her this time around?
I think the preparation's obviously, you know, the amateur game's different. I'm not fighting the Katie Taylor of 2012. You know, we're not point scoring. We're not doing four rounds. Mm. We're not, you know, it's all them things. I've always known I have power. But in the amateurs, it doesn't really benefit you much because you just get a point. If you knock someone down, you get a point. Obviously, in the pros, you win the round 10-8. And I think my mindset is my biggest asset for this fighter.
Do you think you're physically stronger than her, Tash? Do you think you're physically stronger than her? Because I think that's important.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, I think the only probably thing that I can't match her for is speed, and that's it. That everything else, I think I match her for.
Yeah,
I think shot selection's there. I think my IQ's there. And I've basically been places in professional boxing that she hasn't been. You know, I have had to pick myself up. I have had to, you know, go through them hardships with the open off and come out on the other side. And she hasn't been in them places, and I have.
Yeah, mindset's key. And I think it's something, Tash, that a lot of people don't speak about when it comes to boxing. We all can talk about technical ability, you know, going to the trenches, but the mindset, I think the way in which you dealt with the Terry Harper, some might say draw, I call it a win, right? I think you won that fight. I think it's going to hold you in good stead in this fight. I really do. You're going up in a weight though, Tash. I mean, you're going up in weight class. What's it like putting on that extra weight and carrying that around and doing the sparring? It's not a lot, Tash. I mean, you're not going up 20 pounds, but nonetheless, you're still going up in weight.
Yeah, it just means it's weight that I don't have to get off, so it's an extra £5 that I'm able to carry. And, you know, I think it makes you more durable, you know, it makes me stronger, like Gareth said. And yeah, I think, you know, like I said, I'm not draining myself to do it.
This is an important point, Tash. On Saturday night, and the build-up to Ebony Bridges and Shannon Courtney, the two women really did promote their fight, and I thought it was brilliant. And did you think it delivered? And does it show to you that women need to be paid more and find more parity in boxing?
I think, you know, the answer to that.
You know, but they did the job. What I mean is they promoted the fight. They really promoted. People were as interested in that fight as they were in Conor Benn on Saturday night. And they delivered.
And that's the thing. And, you know, the way Ebony portrays herself, as being questioned by people, but
if ridiculous.
It brings a new audience, and you know, brings people watching. Yeah. Why not? And just because she's a female, why can't she do that? Because you know, Floyd was Pretty Boy Floyd before he was Money Mayweather. But yeah. You know, when a girl like sells herself on good looks, like Garcia or like whoever, it's a problem. If that's the way she sells herself on it, and people watch, then you know, I didn't have no problem for it. But it was just a great fight, and at the end of the day, no one was saying it was a women's or it was a men's. It was just a great fight, full stop.
No, completely agree, right, Tash? I mean, they've got to go in there and do the business, right? And the both girls delivered in what I thought was a fantastic fight. Round number 7, I've tweeted about round 7 already. It was such a good round, no doubt. What I saw you tweet about, though, Tash, was some of the fights that can be made right now in female boxing, right? We're talking about taking it to the next level. I saw your kind of wish list of your sort of female super fights that can happen. And I like the way you put your name at the end of it as well. Like, don't forget mine versus Katie Taylor as well. We are in a good place right now, aren't we, Tash? And yeah, we do want, and it will happen. I know it will happen in terms of equality and pay, but we're in a good place where there are these female super fights that we look forward to now.
Yeah, and the thing about the female fights is that they're easier to make.
Mm.
Yeah, and the fact that everyone does want to fight each other. You ask Serrano who she wants to fight, she'll say Katie Taylor. You ask, you know, McCaskill who she wants to fight, she'll say Chantel Cameron. Pursoon will say anybody, and the same, everyone, no female wants to be a one belt champion or to just stay in their like organization, whether that's WBA, IBA, you know, IBO, sorry,
yeah,
WBC, whatever. They want to be, you know, the undisputed. Clarissa has done it in two weights, Katie's done it. Everyone wants to do what they've done, and it's easier to do that. So, like, make it happen. Like, if you're the promoter, that's your job, make it happen.
Two more questions for me, and then I will just reside here and let Addy finish off.
I'll give you one, Gareth. I'll give you one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make it in the same question then. Are you happy with what you're being paid on May the 1st, and what happens when the bell rings?
Yes, to the first.
Hey, good. Well good, done. Good. I like the way you push to make sure good. You get the pay as well.
Good.
Yeah, and to the second part, I think, you know, we've got styles that gel, and I'm bringing, I don't know, I can't say what's going to happen, but I'm going to put my best foot forward, and I know Katie will bring hers, so that equals fireworks.
It does equal fireworks.
Look, I can't wait. Honestly, I
can't either. I don't like it because normally I've got someone that I completely favour, but I love both of you. I love both of you, and I think that makes it for a good fight. Look, it's a fantastic card as well. Obviously, headlined by Chisora versus Parker, but for me, this is the main event. It's a world title fight, and it should be main event, but that's another discussion completely. Tash, good luck against Katie Taylor.
Cheers, thank you.
Liverpudlian. I'm a Liverpool fan, Tash, as well, Tash. Bring the belt back, Tash.
Cheers, Tash. Yeah.
Good luck, Tash. You're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest and have people like that on, Natasha Jonas. Remember, if you miss any of the show and like to listen again, you can check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
It's the fourth match in the IPL 2021. It is Rajasthan Royals versus the Punjabi Kings. Sam Ellard watching the action for us. Sam, what is the latest?
What great entertainment this afternoon. Into the 19th over, the Punjab Kings 211 for 4. But it's all been about Deepak Hooda, who played an incredible innings at number 4. He made 64 from 27 balls. His half century came off just 20 deliveries. There have been only 22 faster half centuries in the competition's history. Still at the crease is the captain, K.O. Rahul. He's played beautifully. He's 86 from 47. The Punjab Kings look set to post a massive score. 8 balls left of the innings. They're 211 for 4.
Cheers, Sam. Thank you very, very much. Remember, it is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. If you've missed any of today's show, you can always catch up with our podcast. So search for The Fight Night wherever you download your podcast to access all previous episodes. Some good stuff there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and The Boy from Brownsville, The Mike Tyson Story. Gareth A. Davis is still with us. Gareth, the Bellator Light Heavyweight Tournament has kicked off. A big fight on the weekend was Ryan Bader versus Lyoto Machida. It was a rematch of their fight from what, 9 years ago. It was a completely different Machida back then, right? He was very special, very unknown in his style. Different Machida at the weekend, I think it's fair to say, Gareth.
Well, he's coming up 43 now, isn't he? And he's a very different fighter. And Brian Bader just ground out that result, winning every round. Mm. Great card in terms of victory for Liz Carmouche over Vanessa Porto, the former Invicta women's champion. Liz putting herself in contention for a flyweight title against the Brazilian Juju Velasquez, Juliana Velasquez. A victory for Kat Zingano. These are all names, women's fighters in MMA that people are very, very aware of.
Yeah.
And then, of course, next week, Phil Davis and Vadim Nemkov. And then on May the 7th, Yoel Romero against Rumble Johnson. So they've done a good thing. I love tournaments, Grand Prix tournaments. I think Bellator have really, really captured that market. And as I've said before, it's great that it's on the BBC iPlayer live streaming, although it wasn't on Friday night, wasn't live streamed. I hasten to say, because of the death of HRH, the Prince Philip, of course, who passed away. And it was the right thing. So it came on the player the day after. But, it's a really, we're talking about how vibrant and virulent boxing is at the moment. MMA is in a great place right now. What I think it's all testament to is our sport is about survivors. It's about thriving under pressure. Mm. And we're all under pressure because of COVID-19. Life is very different. And boxing and MMA have really thrived in this time.
Yeah,
just
agreed.
As we were saying all through the show, women's boxing and women's MMA has really come on as well. Because there's eyeballs on it like they've never been before.
Yeah, and there certainly will be eyeballs on the event this weekend. I say event because it is a kind of a mishmash, a crossover of boxers versus former MMA fighters. And it should be fun, right? I'm talking about Jake Paul versus Ben Askren over the weekend. I mean, look, Jake Paul is Marmite. In fact, he's worse than Marmite. I think it's fair to say majority of people do not like him. But you know what he's doing? He's putting eyeballs on the sport. He's doing it, right? I'm fully invested. He's got me in. I'm invested now because I want to see him lose. Probably won't lose, but it's a great event. Triller really are setting the tone for different types of sporting events. It's not just Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. We spoke about it. It's Steve Cunningham, former cruiserweight king, versus Frank Mir, UFC heavyweight champion. That's crazy. We've got Regis Progel on the card as well. What's your thoughts on Askren versus Paul?
Well, I mean, look, we know that Askren's got terrible hands when he boxes and he's going into a boxing match for the first time. And Jake Paul behaves like a 14-year-old most of the time.
Terrible hands is an understatement. They're the worst hands I've ever seen in MMA.
But the thing is, this is sports entertainment where it's a fusion and a hybrid. In some ways, I'm a traditionalist, but in other ways, I'm not. If it works, we saw last year with Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson, they dipped their feet into the water, did Triller, and it worked. 1.6 million views on pay-per-view. Mm. And I think this is a fusion, a hybrid, if you like, of sports, music, entertainment, celebrity.
I'm sold,
you know,
by the way.
New modern media. Yeah. It's so, you know, say Regis Progre's on the card. He's a very, very fine boxer. Mm. Frank Mir crossing over into boxing. He's loved boxing since he worked with Freddie Roach at the Wildcard Gym in Los Angeles when Manny Pacquiao was at his height. I remember Frank knocking out Nogueira with a beautiful left hand that he learnt really in those days under Freddie Roach. So, you know, I don't have any objection to it whatsoever. It gets eyeballs on the sport, that's fine. If people have objections to it, that's no issue either. I'd like to see Jake Paul get knocked out by Ben Askren as well.
I think we kind of do when it comes to boxing. I think it's fair to say Jake Paul's going to knock Ben Askren out. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to then call out and say, I knocked out a former Bellator champion, a former UFC, legit UFC title contender. And he's going to sell it again. He's going to continue the sell until we fight someone serious. But look, I'm going to tune in. You're going to tune in, no doubt. We're all invested into it. And I think you made a good point about Triller in terms of what they've done to the sport. Production levels have been literally off the chain. I mean, you compare it to Carl Frampton versus Jamal Herring. We look like they fought in a tent in Dubai. Look at what we're going to see on the weekend. Completely different.
Well, it's about entertaining people. Mm. It's bringing new eyes and a new audience to the sport. And I think that's what we've been talking about with Ebony Bridges earlier, bringing new eyes to the sport. She's got a different kind of following in some ways. And I think if you can capitalize on that, Jake Paul, and as I was at the Logan Paul KSI fight, between them, they've got 50 million YouTube followers.
Crazy.
So you only need a fifth of those or a 5% of those people to tune in. And you've got the biggest audience boxing's had for years. So, you know, it's an a changing time, but I think it's fascinating, and I think we have to embrace it. You know, the freak shows along, you know, people are calling it the freak show. Sometimes it is a freak show, but just embrace it and see what comes out of it. You know, times are changing, and we're moving into the new digital era, so it's fascinating for me.
Just before we go, very quickly on this one as well, I've got a minute left here. We are seeing more of the veterans fight, them fights come up as well. We've got Miguel Cotto versus Marquez, which is being signed. Oscar De La Hoya looks like he wants to come out of retirement and have a crack
against
as well.
An MMA fighter.
What are they all doing? What do you make of all this, very quickly?
It's absolutely fine, as far as I'm concerned. Some of them will fall, some of them will rise. Mm. Some of them are worth watching, some of them are not. If they match Oscar De La Hoya with the right person, it'll be a very, very interesting night. He looks in fine fettle, I must say.
He does look
He looks great in all his videos.
Yeah,
great.
He looks great, in great shape. Voice there, Gareth A. Davis, thank you very, very much. Gareth, that was Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every Monday afternoon to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Great guest as well, like we had Tasha Jonas today. Remember, if you missed any of the show, would like to listen again, check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner. And for more great boxing and MMA coverage, make sure you tune into Fight Night on TalkSport this Saturday night with Adam Cattrall and Gareth A. Davis. That's it for this week. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. We'll be live again next Monday on TalkSport 2. And if you miss us, make sure to subscribe to Fight Night Podcast to catch up with all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.